Let's make sure everybody gets one. Here's some more. Good job. Yep, take a couple. Give them out to the dads. Is that it? Did we get everybody? One more? Okay. Awesome. Yeah, we got herdsmen dads out there too. All in their matching Hawaiian shirts today. It's a blessing. Thank you so much for helping. That's lovely. Yep, any extras we'll take right up here because they have, and if you want to take one along for a dad that you know that's not here today, thank you so much. Thanks, brother. Hang on to the basket for me, will you? Thank you. Sure, that'll work. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we pray blessings this day on fathers everywhere. We ask your blessing on fathers present with us and upon those who have passed beyond this life into eternity with you. Bless fathers raising children today. Bless those now sharing their love with grandchildren. Bless those who make the journey of fatherhood with the support of a loving spouse. Bless those who care for their children through the challenges of single parenthood. Bless fathers who found it difficult to express their love in meaningful ways. Those who experience estrangement and separation from their children. Bless all spiritual fathers who have not borne children but selflessly care for the little ones of this world. Help all fathers to grow daily in the image of your Son, and help us all to know the depth of your love through the love of fathers. Amen. Blessings to you all. As I said, it's a celebration day, celebration on top of celebration. In Pentecost, as we inaugurated this Pentecost season of the year last Sunday, we enter into the ordinary time, which we for this year have dubbed extraordinary because of all the things that are going on. This ordinary time is the time for which the people of God are ordained. It's time for which all of us, of all ages, are called forth to understand ourselves as a part of the body of Christ, a part of God's inbreaking into the world in our time. So it's an important time, and ordinary just doesn't seem to do it justice sometimes. And yet that's exactly what it means. This is for which we were made. God has invited us into living out our full identity, our true identity in God, in the midst of the world as God's people. And the first act of this celebration is why I think there's one, I keep looking for our calendar, it's right back there, one celebration right after another. Holy Trinity right on the heels of Pentecost Sunday. No sooner do we start down the road, start into the chapters of this story, but we engage immediately the way God gives us the gift of God's self in our lives, the way God reveals God's self to us to fulfill all of the purpose and all of the intent that God has in making us and calling us as God's people. We celebrate Holy Trinity. Question comes up a lot, historically always has. Why three? Why not four? We could have a quadrinity. Right? Why not just two? Why not the duality that seems to characterize so much of our world? This or that, one or the other. Or just a unity. And in fact, Holy Trinity does proclaim a unity, but it proclaims it in three persons or three faces of God, is language that the church has picked up on over time. I happen to believe this. I happen to believe that God is present in and under and through all creation. I think the faces and persons of God that are expressed in the world are infinite. Infinitesimally small, infinitely vast, I think that God manifests God's self in infinite ways. As many as the people of the world, the creatures of the earth, the features of nature, and the cosmos that surrounds us. I think these are all proclamations, identifications of God. And so, three seems to be barely enough when you're talking about an infinity in scope. And yet three is the gift of Scripture to us. Three are the ways in which our forebears, those who have gone before us in the faith, have talked about and written about God. And three are evident in God's self-disclosing, God's self-giving everywhere in Scripture. It begins our lived experience, and then it begins to frame our life as a community of faith in our apostolic greeting, which comes from Paul in Corinthians, the way Paul seeks to greet fellow disciples, fellow apostles, fellow followers of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And we automatically respond, and also with you, as we do to may the force be with you, and also with you. The peace of the Lord be with you, and also with you. We're a very reciprocal, blessing, and generous community of faith in the way that we talk about this. But that's the way we frame our greeting to one another. The grace of God, the love of Christ, and the fellowship of the Spirit. And it frames our creeds. It frames our statements of faith. The apostles, the Nicene, the Athanasian, which is one we rarely get to. We'll have to do the Athanasian Creed as a part of worship here someday. But Father, Son, and Spirit frame the ways in which we frame our faith and speak about faith to one another and to the wider world. But it's important for us to engage on this day especially. It's important for us to engage what it is we're talking about. When we talk about Father, Son, and Spirit, when we talk about the mystery of God as the three in one and the one in three. When Luther was talking about Holy Trinity, he said, to doubt the Trinity is to risk our salvation. To understand the Trinity is to risk our sanity. He thinks it's a difficult thing, a challenging thing, and it is. When we seek to embrace the vastness and the intimacy of God, when we seek to embrace the transcendence and the immanence of God, we are engaging mystery. We're engaging something perhaps even beyond our capability to understand. And yet we continue to reach, and God continues to reach to us with that self-giving nature that expresses God so beautifully. I have talked before about water, and I think that water is a wonderful element to think about when it comes to Trinity. I think about the phases of water. We've talked about this on Holy Trinity Sundays before. Seething steam, hard, cold ice, and liquid flowing life. Life is, water is the essential element of all life. It's the essential element that calls us together as the body of Christ. It's the way in which God invites us into this presence and identity with God and the gift of our baptism. Streams of living water are said to flow from the throne of God and from the heart of believers, and from the life of Christ, his living ministry with us. So water is a beautiful image of Trinity. But we've talked about it in terms of eggs, we've talked about it in a lot of different ways, and these are all perfectly workable analogies to something that, as Luther said, is probably even a little bit beyond our capacity to fully engage. And yet God continues to disclose just the same water. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, Jesus says, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit whom the believers would embrace. This vital element of life itself, proclaimed by the Son as a gift from the Father in the form of Spirit, this river of living water. Elementally symbolized, but deeply and profoundly spiritually experienced. This is the gift from God. Gift from God proclaimed in the Son, in the form of the Spirit that indwells us all. The uncreated one, flowing through all creation. These are wonderful ways to think about the goodness and the very nature of God, the way God is giving God's self to us. I like Celtic knots. I think they're marvelous. They're infinite. They don't begin or end. There's a variety of them, but all of them in many ways express Trinity. There are some other elaborations that may have more pieces to them. But again, that's really kind of commensurate with my faith, so I'm not bothered by that. In the infinite variations of God's revelation in the world around me and in me and in and around you, how many is too many? And yet, the beauty of Trinity expressed right here with the circle of eternity worked into it. I like this image in particular for that reason. Luther includes a circle of eternity in his crest. And I like this one in particular too because it's done in vines. It's done in flowering vines. And it reminds me of Jesus' teaching about you are the branches, I am the vine, my Father is the vine dresser, the one who brings forth the new growth, the blossoming and the fullness of what it is to just be a part of the vine. And the vine continues, it neither begins nor ends. We find our place in it, we blossom for a time in this relationship of love. I love this symbol. And I think it says a lot, not only to us, but to the whole world. It was a wonderful symbol for the Celtic naturalists, spiritualists that they were, to engage and embrace the Christian message. When they started to talk about Trinity in terms like this, that made perfect sense. The evangelism to the Celts was perhaps easiest around one of the things that can be the most challenging for us. They had perfect natural symbols for it in the world all around them. And they made them and celebrated them, and it became an art form for them, which we continue to celebrate from this to this day. And going all the way back to the beginning, in our Genesis reading today, this self-disclosing of God is initiated in the midst of chaos, in the midst of formlessness. And here we have, in the majestic words of the Hebrew creation stories, this God who speaks, this source, this everlasting wellspring that gives forth with creation in the beginning. And we're told that the Spirit of God is hovering over the abyss, the dark waters, chaos. Hebrew scriptures borrow liberally from Greek traditions, and this formless chaos is one of those. Fearsome, perhaps, but only because of its unknownness, but unordered, completely randomized, dark and impenetrable. And the Spirit of God is hovering like a breeze over that. We get spirit breath. All of our words. It's interesting that Jesus in the Gospels today talks about spirit and uses all masculine pronouns. Did you notice that? It's very, very typical of our scriptures. We have scriptures that were written in an age of intense patriarchy. So all of the pronoun references, all of the gender identifications of the principal players are going to be masculine. They just are. And yet, all of our words for spirit throughout the ancient languages are all feminine in their nature because of their generativeness, their creativeness. Pneuma in the Greek is a feminine word for breath and spirit. Ruach in Hebrew, feminine for the nurturing generativeness of spirit and breath all at once. So here we have God, the speaker, and we have the breath by which God speaks, and finally, we have the Word. The Word God speaks in the midst of formlessness to begin to bring order and harmony out of it all. From the beginning, speaker, word, and breath have prevailed, and creation has come forth from that Holy Trinity. In the beginning, God has revealed to us as the one in three and the three in one. But I think most importantly, and certainly what Jesus and God and Spirit want us to get, is that God is relationship. God is relational. I've heard eminent theologians speculate about why God creates. I don't know if you've ever stopped to question that, but to unleash everything that has come ever since, You might second guess that a little bit in some of the ways things have worked out. But the question is a good one. Why does God create? And I think an answer that's equally plausible is God creates for relationship. I think God creates because the ultimate source of love requires an object of that love. To be a lover requires an object of that lovingness. And I believe God creates and fills this disordered, unharmonious chaos with order. Cosmos and shalom is for the relationship of love that God longs for between God and us, between God and all creation, between us and one another. Another Trinity. Relationship. God creates us for relationship. We understand this from our own experience. We know that while we do sometimes crave those times of just privacy, just quietness, and a sense of uninterrupted rest, it's not long before we start looking around for somebody else to share with. We are wired, we are created for relationship. And God begins this marvelous expression, this giving of God's self, with that very notion. God is Father, embracing Son, embracing Father in the love of the Spirit. The nature of Trinity is relationship, community. God doesn't call us forth as the people of God to go forward as private soldiers to enact God's grace and God's goodness in the world by ourselves. Never once do we have something like that. We always have teachings about God's calling on our lives, God's commission for us, God's kingdom, God's plan for the fullness of time. All of the ways it's referred to always relate to community. Us, not I. And here, I think, is a place that's fruitful for us to think about Trinity this day. Who are the us? Who are the we? And to what extent have we become an I unto ourselves? A question for us to ask continuously in our lives as we seek to live out this goodness, to live into this relationship into which God has invited us. To recognize that it's not an us and them, it's not a duality. It's a whole human community that God is talking about. It is a whole natural order that God is talking about. And galactically, it's not too grand to think in these terms. It is a cosmos that God is talking about. And one bounded and embracing another in this spirit of love, which we see demonstrated in this Trinity. Scripture marches through a story of God's revelation to us. And it doesn't culminate and end here in this Pentecost time. We cross yet another threshold and into a new season, a new day, once again. But God, who has been revealed to us as creator, source and ground of being, the I am, being itself, comes among us, manifest as one of us in the incarnation, in Jesus, God's Christ. And from there, we have Jesus saying, I'm getting out of the way so that you can begin to engage God at an even deeper level, the God who is within. Spirit, the indwellingness of God. So creator, redeemer, sustainer, speaker, word, breath, steam, ice, liquid life. God's story is continuing to unfold. And we have but to share it. Our invitation to whatever them confronts our us is to share the goodness and love that has been revealed to us by God. And the embrace and the invitation to us to find our identity and to live our lives in that. Amen?